Hello and welcome to Politibabble Breaking It Down. I'm Archibald Elliott.
I'm Sam Rowe.
And I'm Brisha Shaw.
And this week we're going to be breaking down how on earth government works. And as you may have noticed, we have some wacky, funky new theme music, guys.
Yeah, we're back. Season 3, it is here.
Yeah.
Try
and contain
your
excitement.
We did it, guys.
Max Radio haven't got rid of us yet.
No,
we haven't
not
been
yet.
Cancelled.
Yes.
It'll happen. Season 3. Let's do this.
Yes.
No time to
jump. So this season's all about breaking it down in the first section. Then you can check out our newscast, which should be right after it. In newscast, we're going to be breaking down the US election.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because you haven't heard enough about it already.
No. Well, I haven't. I don't know anything, do I?
None of us do. We're just pretending. Please help us.
Yes. So we're going to be breaking down how on earth government works. So what is government, Sam?
Well, there are a few definitions, but here's the first one. The political direction and control exercised over the actions of members, citizens, or inhabitants of communities, societies, and states. Direction of the affairs of state, community, etc. Political administration. Arguably, government is necessary to the very existence of civilized society. Mm. That's the first definition.
Yeah.
Not everyone will agree with that.
I know, and then we found another definition. This is our defining moment of the programme. Get that pun in there early.
Yeah.
A government is a group of people that have the power to rule in a territory according to administrative rule. They make laws, rules, regulations, collect tax and print money. Tax. Ooh, tricky one there.
Boo. Boo the government. We don't need it. I reckon, right, I genuinely believe that if we all lived in, like, without a government, I don't think there would be as much crime because, like, after, like, yeah, you'd have, like, a little purge situation for, like, the first little bit.
Sure.
But then, like, after a while, because people mainly do crime for, like, the thrill, isn't it? And then, like, poverty. But
so you're saying we don't need government to maintain order?
Yeah. We can have order by itself. Like, you see loads of, I don't know, ants or something. They don't have, like, a big ant that's,
true.
Like,
they do have a queen.
They do have a queen.
Yeah, but, like...
who tells them what to do.
They have a dictator. Yes.
Yeah.
Dictator true. Queen.
Dictator
well,
queen.
If anarchy
but,
does
like,
happen, I'll be a pavement.
But there is, see, the thing, there's a legitimate argument for anarchy. The state isn't necessarily, you know, we've seen lots of instances of the state not doing good things.
The state doesn't control us, we control the state.
Yeah, the idea of, like, community communes and similar things. Yeah. It's an interesting idea.
I think there should be an experiment on the Isle of Man about anarchy because it would work on the Isle of Man because it's like quite small so you can like contain the anarchy.
Yeah.
I don't know. But if it was like...
Put up a wall.
Just send them all to like Port Erin or something.
Yeah.
And just let them run wild.
Yes, send them down south. Thanks a lot there.
You're
Richard.
Welcome.
But obviously we have governments and we got kind of the UK
government. Yes, unfortunately we have a government.
Well, thankfully in my opinion.
Yes, this government's so good, isn't it, Archie?
Yeah, but it's quite interesting.
I'm referring to
the
UK one. I don't hate Howie at the moment.
Yeah, so the makeup of the UK government is quite an interesting one. You have the Commons.
Yeah, no, it's
that lower chamber. Which proposes all the legislation is elected by kind of people.
And then it's reviewed in the House of Lords.
Yeah. And kind of, what do we have within that kind of Commons, which is the lower house of the Parliament?
Well, obviously, the majority of the people there are backbenchers. So all a backbencher is an MP that doesn't hold any office in government or in the opposition. And that's all it is. That's all there is to it. It's just a member of Parliament who is just that.
And then I suppose you have the executive, which is those high-level positions where we have brilliant Bojo ruling the... I have to use alliteration there, or you could say...
The fact that you can't keep a straight face while saying
that. Member of the Conservative Party, Archibald Elliott, can't say it without laughing.
Really? Oh.
But the executive is always held accountable to the Parliament. And is made up of the cabinet positions. The people who run... country per se. And then the Lords, I'm sure Brisha will be thrilled with how the Lords is kind of made up. But what's its makeup, Brisha? I'm quizzing you here. Sorry, I just thrown it on you.
Shout out to Chris, who just messaged me a funny meme.
Good deflection.
But the Lords is made up of hereditary and life positions, which I don't agree with, because why are they more qualified than I am?
That's a good point.
Or how, point. Sorry, how more than why. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, just because your granddad was nice to the Queen doesn't mean you should get a seat in the House of Lords, and I shouldn't.
I think that's what the Tony Blair Lords Reform
Big
Act is. They got rid of all but 93 hereditary peers. That's where you can inherit a position through blood, through your family. And they've created life peers where you are put in by government, basically. So it's basically if you're lackeys with the government, if you're friends,
there are a lot of people in the UK who still see that as a problem. For example, and we'll get onto this in more detail, but in the US it's done differently. But yeah, there are arguments for both points. Yeah. I would probably lean against that purely on the basis of that's not.
I
don't see that.
Just because you kiss some ass doesn't mean you deserve a position in the Houses of Parliament to make
decisions.
Took
the words right out of my mouth.
Thank you.
And then that election of that lower house is then done via first past the post. There's many different electoral systems, and later on the season you'll see us analyse them in great depth.
Oh yeah,
with all their pros and cons. But the UK uses a first past the post system, so it means the person who got the most amount of votes, even if they didn't get over half. Whoever got the biggest number gets in.
Yes.
To that constituency. And it doesn't matter what other constituency gets. It's individual. And constituency is kind of that area of where you elect an MP from.
Like the city or region.
So it could be like Port Erin, if you take Manx name on, has an MP. Obviously MHK on Isle of Man.
But yeah, that's the principle it works on.
Yeah.
And then you came onto this earlier, didn't you, Sam, with the review of the House of Lords.
Yeah, so the way the chambers work is a piece of legislation is drawn up. It is voted on in the House of in the Commons. I always call it the House of Representatives. That's bad. in the Commons, and then it is put up to the House of Lords for review. Now they can't actually themselves draw up a piece of law, but they can review it for things that they think should be amended. And if they wish, they can send it back to the House of Commons to be changed with, you know, amendments. But the Commons can push it through again if they send it back up. So it's not an ultimate power. They can't force it to change.
Yes, checks and balances.
Yes. And then it comes to my favourite part of the whole process, which is royal assent, where it goes past our great, glorious and wonderful Queen.
Of course. Supreme ruler,
That's constitutional monarchy speaking here, but in other situations, it'll be the head of state just signs off the bill. They can't really stop it. And they just accept what Parliament says.
Some heads of state do have veto powers, which they can use, but
that's all part of what Breacher said, checks and balances.
Yeah. And again, that varies from country to country.
Mm. Yeah. Well, the UK's not technically a country, guys.
Oh, dear. Not this debate, but is,
I mean, it's not a country, though.
You change one letter on UK, and what do you get? U.S. Us. So we're going to have thanks, Sam, for that ASMR. Every single time.
AMSR. Yeah.
If you were worried season 3 would be any different.
It's not.
Exactly the same.
Except we've lost, yes.
Oh, God. We've
lost someone.
That's true. Sorry, Ewan.
Yeah, he's not dead. We just didn't.
Well, he's in Liverpool. Yeah. But yeah.
Anyway, going back to us, as in the US government.
UK.
Yeah, its makeup is quite different. You kind of led on to this with Congress, has representatives your...
Wait, what?
The new...
Oh, we're talking about the US.
Yes.
Oh.
No, the US is... It is... Broadly, it's a similar principle or idea, but the makeup of it is very different.
Because, remember, guys, the US is not like other countries.
Yes, it's not. No, it's the best democracy in the world. getting on to that.
The irony is we're all laughing at that.
because we all know it's true. Yeah. So it's the best democracy in the world.
Oh, thank you, Risha. Yeah.
Its legislative branch is made up of Congress, which is itself is made up of two different houses, the Senate and the House of Representatives. They can both vote on laws, etc., etc. Principle is still very similar.
Yeah. The legislative is like the people who make the laws and decide whether they are good laws or bad laws.
Yeah, but they have to get through both houses, just like in the UK. Senate positions are elected every 6 years, so it's only won in a presidential election. House of Representatives, though, is 4 years. Yeah,
and the House of Representatives is the equivalent of the UK House of Commons,
yeah,
and the Senate of the UK Lords. Except, unlike the Lords, as Sam said, they're electors.
That's the difference. Yeah. Yeah, currently, well, we'll get into that actually.
And then we've got another branch of government, which is the president,
or the executive.
The executive, and unlike in the UK system where they have to have the confidence of the parliament, mm-hmm. they are elected entirely independently. That's what we're seeing going on in the states currently.
So, because of the way state voting works, you can vote. You could vote for, say, you voted for a Republican candidate. You could vote for a Democrat in the Senate and in the House. What this means is you can get to a stage where, say, the Democrats control both the Senate and the
House,
but you had a Republican president, which really limits the power of a president.
Yeah.
The president has neither
which
a majority.
Which would be such a shame would if be that devastating. Happened to
but if
the Trumpet himself.
Yeah, if a president doesn't have either the House or the Senate, it's very difficult for them to effectively govern the country.
Yeah, and for those who maybe aren't aware, the US is a very two-party system, with Democrats being, if you wanted to make it very polarised, the left wing and Republicans as right wing.
But
it,
of course,
it's very nuanced. In between
You've got to understand, in America, things like that are seen as left wing are just centrist kind of point, things we all agree on here in the UK. The idea of nationalised healthcare, universal healthcare, that is something that's become pretty much a principle of most European, if not all European countries.
Yeah.
In the US, it's seen as a radical leftist idea. That's the difference.
Yeah. Which is a bit crazy.
Who knows?
Oh. And again, they're all first past the post.
Yes. Mm. Are they? Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Apart from
great question.
apart from the president, where, it's sort of first past the post, electoral college.
To become president, you need to win 270 electoral votes.
And to hook you in for listening to the newscast, you can check that out on the newscast, which is just coming up after this.
Please listen, it will be just as incompetent.
Yes. And you can now learn how the president's elected us. That's your hook of why you should listen to the USP.
Yes, obviously.
Supreme Court, have we talked about that?
Oh, of course,
Of course.
Both, we skipped that thought.
The most important thing.
We just don't like it, really.
They personally offended us. Both governments have a third branch, the judiciary. That's made up of the Supreme Court. So in the US, the Supreme Court carries a lot more power than in the UK. They're appointed for life. They're appointed by a president, nominates them, and then they have to be passed through
the Senate.
It's just the Senate. And if they do, then they get put into the position, which they hold for life.
And there's nine?
There's nine, yeah.
In
currently,
the US.
There is a strong conservative majority. They would argue it more along the lines of an originalist majority, which means that they hold true to the original intentional wording of the Constitution. But it is very nuanced between them.
Even I, as a conservative, think I'd love the whole court to be conservative, but it isn't right. It needs to have that balance. The whole point is further check and balance to add to the system.
I think a better way to look at it would be originalist and progressive. So the idea that some people look to expand the Constitution and update it, if that makes sense, to fit society better. Yeah. Others look to maintain its original principles.
And you'll hear about constitutions probably later in the series.
But
should we... Obviously, we should be judging ourselves on 18th century principles drawn up by four white men, of course.
They got it perfect in the 1700s, and nothing has changed since
then.
We're all good.
Of course not.
We haven't been to the moon or anything.
No.
But
how laws are passed in the states is then obviously different to the UK. Because it has to go through the House. The House proposes the legislation.
Yes.
You sure?
The Senate can strike it down, the laws which can only delay. And the President can also have a veto and say, I'm not signing that.
So there are two different stages, the Senate and the President, that can just flat out prevent a law from being passed, regardless of how many votes it gained in the House.
Checks and balances.
Yeah, whether those checks and balances are good or not are
Yeah. We should briefly just explain the kind of arguments behind those checks and balances. Mm. The two basic sides of it are one side, which will be in favour for the checks and balances, argue that it ensures only good, fair laws are passed, which, and there is substance to that argument. The more, in theory, the more checks on a law you have, the better it should be by the time it's passed. The argument against it is that there are too many checks and that they're too extreme.
Especially within the US.
Especially within the US, because, and that's it's a fair point. The US historically struggles to pass the same volume of legislation that the UK does. It's something that's just always been the case. Whether you think that's good or not, I guess that's up to your individual interpretation.
Well, I suppose that's why you could argue the UK system with the Lords not being able to block, but maybe push it back for review and push back to kind of have that check and balance works much better than the state saying, no, we're Republican, we don't like Democrats. Yeah.
But there's...
We're just...
Smelly.
I think there are...
That sums it up in one word, I must say. Yeah.
There's definitely arguments to both sides. Yeah. But, yeah.
I quite like the UK aspect, as in the Parliament, the Commons, is kind of sovereign. So nothing... Mm. That basically
parliamentary
means
sovereignty.
It is above everything. Mm-hmm. It's the highest power in the land. So the judiciary of the UK. We have a Supreme Court, thanks to Tony Blair, previous Prime Minister.
And we should also stress that the Supreme Court, while it can pass judgment on actions...
It can't change law.
It cannot change law. So it can say that was illegal, but that's as far as its power extends, whereas in the US, they can actually prevent laws from coming into being.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, there are arguments in favour of both, because while we might argue in the US the House of Representatives doesn't have enough power, equally many people might argue Parliament has too much. You know, like, what do you do if somehow Parliament becomes corrupt? Because Parliament's the supreme
power.
It isn't
already?
Yeah, that was me being really nice. But, like, what happens there? What do you do? Because there's no authority that can challenge Parliament. It's supreme.
Well, I suppose the electorate is the authority which ultimately challenges Parliament, because the electorate is the person who
in
elects.
In theory, the electorate can pass any law. The Parliament can pass any law it wants.
Yes.
So they could ban the electorate from electing them in.
I think then you'd have anarchy.
Exactly.
And to a certain extent, you do have to rely on
Boris, if you
the people of
that.
A country. Yeah, watch out, Boris.
But the Queen's then that final act, final check and balance, she says, I'm not signing that because it goes against the Constitution.
Yeah, and then they just... abolish the monarchy.
Constitution.
Well, there is a constitution, it's just not codified.
It's not codified. So she says it goes against the principles we stand
principles
by.
Principles of the nation, of course. But then it goes back to you're relying on Queen's
principles.
Codified means that it's not written down a specific place. Sure. So the UK has a codified constitution and...
The US has a...
Oh, yes. Wait.
The US has a codified
constitution. Oh, yeah. And the UK has an uncodified constitution, which means it's not written down in one place. So you have to, like, look for it. It's just a bunch of different laws added together, like in a ring binder.
Just like laws, precedents, treaties.
Yeah.
All these things kind of mashed together roughly to form a basis.
But shoved in the filing cabinet, left one side.
A big document that's like, here's what we're going to do, and if you disagree... That's not allowed.
That's what George Washington said.
Exactly, word for word.
We need to get some of these sound effects, which I must say they're brilliant. We need to get them on clip and get them to play.
Right in, at Politibabble.
Have them made live. I think that's much better.
Much better.
Yeah.
It's the authentic content that people have come for. Why isn't it authentic?
Shinfahugan.
I suppose if we go into our Isle of Man Parliament, suppose something totally wacky out there.
Oh yeah,
We have a lower house, the House of Keys, which is like the House of Commons, elected by the people via first past the post.
Yeah.
Except each constituency, the area where they're elected from, votes two in for each constituency. So there's 24 members, and then they elect the upper house every four years. So it changes mid-election.
Sure.
The upper house will be put in.
Yeah.
So, like, 2 years in, they'll be put in.
Yeah.
So there's always four members of government remaining, or eight between elections. Parliament.
We knew what you meant. We weren't. I wasn't going to call you up because I thought,
please do call me up. It's good. Okay. Good to fact check. And they elect that upper house, which then... Yeah.
It's like
the Lords in the UK. They can only delay legislation, they cannot block it.
Yeah.
And then they all sit together.
And then there's, isn't there like a vicar or something? A bishop?
They sit on the Legco, which is the Legislative Council.
There are lots of people who complain that the Manx government, yeah, it is the oldest continuous parliament in the world. I called it government as well. The oldest continuous parliament in the world, yeah. But it does also kind of show not calling anyone
spill
out.
Spill the tea.
Part of what a lot of people complain. Yeah.
Interestingly, they all then sit together in a third house. You could argue it was a... I won't go into the... We'll cover those terms later. But it sits in a third house, as in the upper house and lower house joined together to make Timwald, or Tinvol, as the Manx term is.
Is it?
Yeah, and then this is on a hill. And in order to have that...
And there's a sword.
Yep, there's a sword,
it's a very nice sword.
It's a bit blunt, though.
Hashtag give us swords.
There's one thing we can tell you about Manx people is that they're really interested in this hill.
Yes, this hill.
It is a pretty cool hill.
It's
lovely landscaping job, I must say.
Yeah. Sort of like a muddy wedding cake.
Yeah, but with grass.
But with grass.
It's green.
It's green. Yeah. It is green.
And the laws have to be read out on the hill, out loud, within a year of being passed by the parliament in order to actually remain law. Otherwise, they just disappear.
Timwald Day will be really short next year. Because they haven't had time to do anything.
And the laws... Oh, never mind. Oh, goodbye.
It was just... don't let uni students come back because they'll bring the coronavirus.
But you'll hear that all about that in the newscast.
The newscast.
Yes. If you've enjoyed this.
Everyone drop a like on the newscast.
Yeah, if you've enjoyed this breaking down, do let us know at Politibabble.
Yeah, do keep us updated how you're feeling, if this is a good format.
How you're feeling, in general.
I do get to say this twice now, so hugs and kisses to our beautiful audience.
Yes. Do let us know how we've got on. Have we impressed you with our... expert
facts
analysis,
logic.
Facts and logic. And have we destroyed your previous thoughts?
With facts and logic.
Yeah, with facts and logic. Remember, facts don't care about your feelings.
Have we overwhelmed you with our animal magnetism?
I know, our Ben Shapiro quotes right there just for you. That's all from us.
Good day.
Politibabble, breaking it down.
Bye. You've been broken down. Mm.